Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by Fouch Agri Service in Grand Junction. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our Jefferson City Administrator, Mike Palmer, joining us now. So thank you very much, sir, for coming on.
Good morning, Coltrane.
You bet. Well, we had a bunch of things on our latest City Council agenda, and the lion's share of the agenda items all had to do with these annual appropriations for rebate payments under certain development agreements. Now, there's about five or six of these that this council has handled over the past few years. Mike, can you just explain in general terms, covering all of those different agenda items under one umbrella, what does that mean when the city council approves on an annual basis this appropriation for rebate payments for these development agreements?
Well, these are agreements the city entered into to encourage development, whether it's commercial or residential. They're like a contract with the owner that essentially says, you go ahead and pay your property taxes, and we're going to rebate every year a certain portion of them back. It works very well. By doing an annual appropriation, does not count against the city's debt limit. Essentially, the city could say we're not going to appropriate that money one year, which is unlikely, but still it's something that we need to go through to actually approve the funds to go back as a rebate to each of these developers.
Now, is this a sort of an agreement that just goes on indefinitely, or are these just for a certain amount of years before they drop off?
That's a good question. It's a certain amount of years. They range anywhere from 7 to 10 years or a maximum dollar amount. Looking at some of these agreements, a number of them are going to be expiring in 2025, which means for the taxpayer that that money that we're rebating will go back onto the tax rolls. So we're looking forward to that. There'll be more tax money in the future. That's when these agreements really pay off. Essentially, we've encouraged to build some wealth back into the tax base.
Now, jumping off from there, we had a kind of unfortunate but necessary item that the council had to approve in order to stick with a timeline here, and that is your wastewater treatment plant improvement project. Now, the council had previously approved a multi-million dollar amount not to exceed, but unfortunately the one bid that came back for the project exceeded that amount. Can you just tell us, first of all, how much the council approved as far as contract amount and who the contractor will be?
It was kind of an unpleasant surprise, although probably not totally unexpected. We only received one bid for the wastewater treatment renovation plan. Remind everybody that that's the city, it's required for us to do that. So we don't have a lot of choice on it. Unfortunately, it's a very specialized type of construction with only one bid. The engineers were estimating that the bid may come in at $13.5 million or so. It came in over $17 million. To rectify that, the council, I had quite a discussion with the engineer. It was a very good discussion on the whys of it, what happened. At the end of the day, the council, they did vote to approve this bid with the Schenck Construction Company for the $17 million. It is going to require some additional adjustments now on fees and borrowing, which nobody likes to hear. But at the next council meeting, those actions will be taken. Essentially, the council at one time had already approved a five-year 11% increase in sewer rates starting in next fiscal year. That's going to have to be bumped up from 11% to 15%. It's not 15% on top of the 11. It's just 15%. There'll be a whole fee schedule out there so the users can see what that means to them.
All right. And then something that, you know, is a little bit easier to stomach with not really using taxpayer money, more or less, and something that should be a lot faster process to be able to get done is the sewer lining project that the council did approve as far as the contract and the contractor and the contract amount. Can you go over what that price tag that was approved by the council was, Mike, and who's going to be handling that project?
It's a concrete lining process that's actually called a cured-in-place pipe, or CIPP. When the council looked at it, fortunately, there were a number of bids on it. That's a nice problem to have. But there were some alternates on it. So this involves about over 12,000 linear feet of pipe lining. We're using CARES money, or it was from the pandemic money, and we're using a little bit of our local option sales tax, about $40,000 of local option sales tax, for a total of about $350,000 in expenditures on this pipe lining. It's it's a wonderful thing to be doing with this money. It's pay dividends for the in the sewer system for decades to come.
And aside from that too, Mike, the library board of trustees made a presentation along with the architect Pete Franks of Franks Design Group to the council about their voted upon and trying to move forward with an expansion project. And at the end of that discussion, it was decided that the library board of trustees would like to push to the north, try to acquire some additional properties across the alleyway, and try to expand a one-story addition towards that part of that block. Can you give us kind of what the overriding factors were or the decision about what is going to be the next step after this presentation was made?
The biggest thing was the takeaways that they did look at four different scenarios. This seemed to be the best one, or the one they recommended the most. It does require acquiring a different additional property. What came out of it was that in order to proceed any further, the staff was directed to look at this property would even be available for sale or not. That's where it was left off, for the staff to come back, look at such things as, number one is the availability of the property, and number two is some of the, if there's any obstacles in the alleyway that would have to be addressed before the alley could be abandoned, building could be put over the top of it.
And finally here, Mike, we've got some more improvement happening in the downtown square, this time on the west side, with Art on the Fly getting their exterior project underway.
Yeah, that's a nice one to see happening. They've removed the front of it with the existing glass, and they're framing up to put all new glass and transom windows in it. It's part of her bigger plan to redo the facade to that. There's three sides of that building to redo that, and they've already done a lot of painting on a couple of the sides. It's going to be quite a transformation.
And as part of that, too, here, Mike, we got a nice announcement from Pete Franks of Franks Design Group at the council meeting on Tuesday, and that was yet more buildings added to the historic downtown district.
That is. You know, that was a real pleasant surprise on face value. People may not think that's a real big deal, but it is a big deal. As Pete Franks pointed out, it's like it's very rare that historic district actually adds buildings to it, because it's a process to go through to have them reevaluated. Typically, a lot of historic districts lose buildings, they either burn down or have to tear them down. So it says a lot for Jefferson for having private funds, private and public funds going into these buildings to get them back onto the historic district, which, by the way, it was a private initiative to get these buildings put into the district from the Why Not Us group.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program, here with our Jefferson City Administrator Mike Palmer joining us once again. Let's Talk Green County is brought to you by Fouch AgriService and Downtown Grand Junction, your channel seedsman. We'll be right back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.